أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. We seek the protection of God from Shaitan, who has been disqualified and expelled from God's kingdom of special grace and mercy because of his arrogance and his defiance. If we submit to God's will and avoid the satanic habit of arrogance, whatever we know to be true by our aql or by the guidance of the sharia or by our conscience, we readily submit. And if we avoid the satanic habit of defiance, whatever we know by our aql to be evil or by the guidance of the sharia or by conscience, we do not commit that evil. And if we have reliance on God, definitely we shall be granted the strength to be able to identify, to oppose, and to overcome satanic temptations. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We humbly turn to God and ask for His special grace and guidance, because He is the all-perfect one. Nobody can hope to achieve any virtue or perfection or goodness until Allah wills it so. And we turn to Him because He is Rahman. His rahmah and mercy and love and care and attention spans out and pervades the whole of the universe, brings everything to life, sustains it, and enables it to reach its goal of perfection. And we turn to Him because He is Rahim. His extra love and grace, which is abundant, which is eternal, and which is unimaginable, is available both here in the dunya and in the akhirah, but exclusively for those who believe in Him, who submit to His will, who live by His dictates, and who are ready to die for it. Alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salam ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi tahirin. And we send our salutations and greetings on the Holy Prophet and on his holy progeny, who are the best guides for mankind till the end of time. Respected scholars, elders, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The night of Thursday, the 9th of Muharram, in the 61st year of Hijra in Karbala, was the final night of these band of holy warriors who committed themselves to the cause of truth and made the ultimate sacrifice that made their name eternal. The angelic realms protested to God that, are you going to send on the earth a man with all this potential for aggression and greed? He's going to spill blood and he's going to cause corruption on the earth. أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. Whereas we deserve to be more your representatives on the earth, because we know you, we glorify you, and we celebrate your praise. Allah answers by saying that, I know some things that you don't know. Karbala on this night proves the angels were wrong in what they understood about the potential of evil in man. They didn't see the potential for good in man. The warriors tonight did the same tasbih and the taqdis and the glorification and the celebration of the praise of God, which the angels claimed qualifies them to become the representatives of God on the earth. Yet these warriors became those supreme representatives of God, and therefore those who represent godly values on the earth. Notice therefore, when on the Thursday afternoon, when the final contingent comes from Kufa under Shimr ibn Dhul-Jawshan, and he presents the ultimatum to Umar ibn Sa'ad that now you have to launch the attack, Umar ibn Sa'ad says, but I'm trying to negotiate and trying to settle. Why did you bring this final ultimatum for the bloody confrontation? Shimri says, if you are not capable of leading this army, move aside, I'll take over. Umar ibn Sa'd said, I don't want to miss my chance of getting the promised governance. Shimr incidentally also brings a request of immunity and protection for the sons of Ummul Banin. Ummul Banin was from the tribe of Kilabiyya. Shimr also was from the same tribe, the Kilabi tribe. So he comes to the army of Imam Hussein. He says, Aina banu ukhtina? Where are the children of our sister, Ummul Banin? So Uthman and Abdullah and Ja'far and Abbas, they come out. And Shim gives them that protection letter. Antum aminun. Don't worry, I brought a letter of immunity for you from Ibn Ziyad. They respond by saying, La'anakallah. May Allah curse you. Wa la'ana amanak. And may Allah curse this protection that you have brought. Atu'minuna wabnu rasulillah la amana la. We live and we breathe and we rejoice so long as our life is in the service of this representative of God. If we die and he lives, that's a shame for us and curse for you, curse on you if you're going to offer this option for us. So when all the final attempts, both from Imam Hussein alayhi salam's side, to bring about a peaceful resolution fail, Ibn Ziyad keeps on pushing for blood. Finally, Umar ibn Sa'd issues the command. Ya khaylallahi irkabi wabshiri bil jannah. O the army of God, launch your attack and this is Jannah awaiting you. He's telling the Kufan bloodthirsty animals who have come for the blood of Imam Hussein. Incidentally, this slogan is the same one that was used by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ali in the Battle of the Qard. And look at the irony and the paradox that now to kill the grandson of the Prophet, the name of the Prophet is being used. Thousands came towards the army, the camp of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Hazrat Abbas approaches Imam and says, dear brother, the enemy is approaching us. So Imam tells Hazrat Abbas, irkab bi nafsi anta ya akhi, go and see what is it that they want. May my soul be sacrificed for you. The respect that Imam has for Hazrat Abbas. Hazrat Abbas, with a contingent of about 20 warriors, including Habib bin Madahir and Zuhair bin Qain, they proceed to encounter with the enemy. The enemy says, the Amir has sent new orders, surrender or die. So Hazrat Abbas is not intimidated. He says, but I can't make the decision how to respond. I need to consult with my master. Meanwhile, the others remained behind and they started talking to that army and to try to admonish them. Incidentally, these attempts to advise, to alert, to awaken, to admonish, they work. It's not the question only of Hur crossing over. Some history, Maqtal report, more than 30 people crossed over. So every moment and opportunity they got, right from Imam Hussein alayhi salam to all the levels down, they made their efforts to awaken these minds, which were misled. Imam Hussein alayhi salam tells Hazrat Abbas, in istata'ta an tu'akhirahum ila ghadatin, go and request for respite till tomorrow. La'allana nusalli li rabbina, so that we may pray to our Lord. Al-layla, on this night, the night of Thursday, the eve of Friday. وَنَدْعُوهُ وَنَسْتَغْفِرُ فَهُوَ يَعْلَمْ أَنِّي كُنْتُ أُحِبُّ الصَّلَاةَ لَهُ وَتِلَاوَةَ كِتَابِهِ وَكَثْرَةِ الدُّعَى وَالْإِسْتِغْفَارِ. Because my Lord knows that I spend my whole life in obedience and in worship and in recitation of his book and in making istighfar and prayer to him. And therefore the last thing that I would like to do before I leave this world is precisely this. So Hazrat Abbas comes back and delivers the request of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Apparently there's some disagreement within the camp of the enemy. Some say yes, some say no. Finally, those who want to agree to this proposal, they win. Amr ibn Hajjaj Zubaydi says, by God, if even if we were facing the infidels, the Daylamis, and they made such a request, we would have granted them. And these are Muslims. And Qais ibn Ash'ath said, accept the offer, doesn't make a difference. By God, these people are not going to surrender. It's not a question, it doesn't matter whether it's today or tomorrow. Let them have that respite. Tomorrow we will launch the attack. So the respite is granted. This farewell night is a very important night. It serves several purposes. Number one, it is one final chance for the confirmation of the loyalty of the companions. Number two, it is a further opportunity to give time to the enemy to reconsider. And it has its effect. Hur does cross over, and the others. And number three, it's also an opportunity for Imam alayhi salam to make one final preparation, motivation, consolation for the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam of what they are going to face. The companions will be informed of what they are going to face tomorrow. The ladies of the camp also are going to be informed. And finally, of course, the fourth purpose of this farewell night. These are warriors who have come out in the way of God. They need the strength of God to be able to fight and to succeed on this battle. So they need to re-establish and regain that strength from God through the process of salah and dua and istighfar and the recitation of the Quran. So let's look at these activities that took place on this night. Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, he reports this final khutbah or final sermon that was delivered by Imam Hussein alayhi salam to the companions. I was sick, but I got near the camp where Imam was addressing the companions, and I heard him say, "Uthni ala Allah, uhsinu thana, ahmaduhu ala sarra wa dharra." I praise God, I've got nothing but the celebration of the glory and the majesty and the wisdom and the justice and the kindness and the generosity and the mercy of God. I've got no complaints. What is happening is beautiful. It's according to God's plan. And we are players in that plan. And God's plan is the final success of the truth. Though we are going to face death, but we have no complaints. Allahumma inni ahmaduka ala an akramtana bin nubuwa. I thank God on this last night in my life that you gave us the highest honor. You raised us in the family of the Prophet. وَعَلَّمْتَنَا الْقُرْآنَ. And the highest message, the most beautiful, from the most loving of the Creator. If there's anything that you want to lift your spirits out from the darkness and the depths of the distance from perfection, if you want to lift yourself up and get closer to the center of light, of perfection, of goodness, of virtue, of justice, of mercy, of compassion, is the Quran. I thank you, O Lord, you gave me this opportunity in this lifetime to know the Quran. And O Lord, I thank you, وَفَقَّهْتَنَا فِي الدِّينِ. You gave us the in-depth understanding of what your message was. وَجَعَلْتَ لَنَا أَسْمَاعًا وَأَبْصَارًا وَأَفْئِدًا. فَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ, according to one version, according to another version, وَلَمْ تَجْعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And we thank you that you never raised us in a time where there was no prophet, or in a community that was not ruled by the message of the final prophet. And we thank you that you gave us the faculties and the abilities to see the truth, to search for the truth, to accept the truth, and to live by the truth. We thank you for all this grace that you have given us. أَمَّا بَعْدْ. My dear companions, لا أعلم أصحابا أوفى ولا خيرا من أصحابي. I know of no companions who are more loyal, who are more virtuous, who are more dedicated than you. You and of course my Ahlul Bayt, the family members. فَجَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِّي خَيْرًا. May Allah give you the best of the reward for your commitment, your loyalty and your sacrifice. But let me tell you, this is the end phase of this confrontation. أَلَا وَإِنِّي لَأَظُنُّ يَوْمَنَا غَدًا. Tomorrow is our last day. مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ وَإِنِّي قَدْ أَذِنْتُ لَكُمْ. I have granted you liberty to leave if you so wish. فَانْطَلِقُوا جَمِيعًا. You may leave one by one, all of you. فِي حِلٍّ. It's halal, there's no bay'ah anymore. You're under no obligation. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ حَرَجْ مِنِّي وَلَا ذِمَامًا. هَذَا اللَّيْلِ. It's the dark night. Nobody will see you. قَدْ غَشِيَكُمْ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ جَمَلًا. Use it as your means to escape. The ultimate choice given to companions. I can go back to my family, to the comfort of my family. Let Ibn Ziyad rule. After some time he will go away. There'll come another ruler. We'll continue with our life. What's wrong? Why face death? Why give up? Why face pain and suffering? But look at the response of these companions. It's amazing. Some say, we don't prefer to live after you. Some say, may God damn our lives and curse our lives if we remain alive after you. A third group said, never ever. A fourth group said, we can't even imagine a situation where we are alive and you're dead. So, Hazrat Abbas, for example, and the sons of Aqil and the other sons of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the members of the Ahlul Bayt, they said, لِمَا نَفْعَلْ. How dare can we do that and desert you? لِنَّبْقَى بَعْدَكَ. So that we may remain alive after you. لَا أَرَانَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ أَبَدًا. May Allah never give us that opportunity to remain alive in your absence. A second group says, قَبَّحَ اللَّهُ الْعَيْشَ بَعْدَكَ. May Allah curse this life that is without the light of your presence. A third group says, وَاللَّهِ لَا نُخَلِّيكَ. We will never ever desert you. حتى يعلم الله أننا قد حفظنا غيبة رسول الله فيك. Till Allah knows from us that we have committed ourselves to protect the message of God and the successor of the messenger of God. And I swear if there is no spear in my hands to defend you, I will use stones to defend you, but I will not flee. In fact, even if I'm killed, أُقْتَلُ ثُمَّ أُحْيَى ثُمَّ أُحْرَقْ ثُمَّ أُحْيَى ثُمَّ أُذْرَى سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةً مَا فَارَقْتُكَ. I swear if I die in your cause, and if God were to give me life again, and then I were to die again. No, I were to be burnt, and then I was to be brought back to life, and then I was to be chopped up, and my particles were to be scattered, and then I was to be brought back to life. 70 times. I would never ever abandon you. Amazing. We believe in raj'ah. Raj'ah means that the chance before the final day of judgment, there will be a smaller judgment on the earth before the end of times. It's this commitment that as much life that I get, any time, I will always defend the cause of truth. Or the fourth group says, Zuhair ibn Qayn said that. Wallahi, the previous one was said by Muslim bin Awsaja. Now Zuhair bin Qayn says, Wallahi, لو قتلت, if I were to be killed, ونشرت, and my body parts were to be spread, ألف مرة, 1,000 times, I would still defend you. This is unparalleled in history. This is why we salute these companions. A chance to escape, yet all of them commit themselves that they are ready to die, not once, but multiple times. This is an amazing, amazing love. Love not for life. Love for the higher life. Love for the cause of truth. Love for justice. This selflessness, this sacrifice, this readiness to give whatever little I have, and even what I give is little. I wish I had more to give. And amazing is this person, one of the companions, Bashir, according to one riwayah, another name is Bashir bin Amr al-Hadrami. He was the last companion alive before the Bani Hashim went to the battlefield. Very firm, very loyal, very committed. Unfortunately, news was brought to him that his son has been captured on one of the border areas. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, consolation, if you wish to leave and you wish to go and arrange for the rescue and the ransom, of your son, you are free to go. In fact, I'm ready to help you. I'll give you some money also to help you do that. 5 dresses, each dress worth 1,000 dinars. He replies something which the 12th Holy Imam in Ziyarat al-Nahya says, Salam to you all, the one who answered Hussein by saying, Akalatni sibaa in faraqtuk. May the ferocious wild animals eat me up if I leave you. My life is not worth. What is my son? Well, let him be sacrificed. What is more important is you. Unfortunately, there were others. For example, Turimah. Turimah came on the way, met the Imam. Imam explains to him that they're on their way to establish the righteous government. They're fighting against evil and injustice. Why don't you join us? And he says, but you know, I've just come back from a harvest and my family is waiting for me. I just need to take this food and deliver and then I'll come back. He goes, he delivers. And he comes back. By the time he comes back, Karbala is over. Look at the contrast between the companions and their readiness to commit to the cause of truth. So the big question is, who are these companions? In Ziyarat al-Nahya, a long list is mentioned, but if you look at their backgrounds, it's interesting. Sa'id bin Abdullah Hanafi, an elderly person, brave man, worshipper of God. He traveled thousands of kilometers from Kufa to reach to Makkah, from Makkah back to Kufa, and then all the way back to Karbala. Thousands and thousands and thousands of kilometers, but never parted with Imam Hussein. The last day, he stood up as a shield in front of Imam Hussein, and he collapsed to enable Imam Hussein, to protect Imam Hussein. There was no other way Imam Hussein could go for prayers. Even for prayers, the enemy didn't give him time. But this man acted as a shield and sacrificed himself. Nafi' Hilal Jamali, noble man, brave man, reciter. Reciter of the Quran, also mufassir of the Quran. A scribe. Abis bin Shabib Shakiri, chieftain of the tribe. Brave man, good speaker, eloquent speaker, worshipper of God. Well known as a pious worshipper in the city of Kufa. Suwaid Khata'ami, chief of the tribe, noble man, worshipper, brave. Hanzala Shabami, elder, eloquent speaker, reciter. These were brilliant people, accomplished people, successful people. Burair bin Khudair Hamdani, a chief of the tribe, worshipper, mufassir of the Quran. Muslim Awsaja, famous Abid. All these people came from an illustrious background. And therefore we find that our imams have taught us that when we address them in the ziyarah, we say that Salam be on you. Assalamu alaykum ya ansar deenillah. Salam be on you, all the helpers to the cause of God and the cause of the Prophet. Assalamu alaykum ayyuha rabbaniyun. What is the secret of your success that you are ready to die not once but multiple times for this cause of truth and undergo all this pain and suffering but not allow Imam Hussein to be heard? What is the cause? What is the motive? What is the reason? Rabbaniyun. In the Quran, Allah describes the Rabbaniyun in Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3. Verses number 146 onwards. I think this is the best description that fits these people. And obviously, over history, anyone who qualifies. وَكَأَيِّن مِن نَبِيٍّ Ayah 146, Surah Ali Imran. وَكَأَيِّن مِن نَبِيٍّ قَاتَلَ مَعَهُ رِبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٌ Oh, how many prophets have been in the past with whom they have been these godly warriors. Ribbi is the one who is intensely connected to God and therefore ready to sacrifice everything he has for the sake of God and for the sake of godly values and for the sake of the godly representative. Waka'ayyin. You people in the Battle of Uhud, Surah Al-Imran, almost one third of it discusses the aftermath of the Battle of Uhud when the majority of the Muslims had fled the battlefield. And there is an analysis what led to that desertion of the Prophet at that crucial moment. What is wrong with you? So many people in the past There's not been a prophet but that he has always confronted the evil forces and they have engaged him and there has been a physical conflict. And along with these prophets have been these godly warriors. You know what's their description? Three things. فَمَا وَهَنُوا لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Obviously the evil forces mobilize and galvanize all their forces to inflict harm. But because it is fi sabilillah, these godly warriors do not flinch, they do not falter, they do not hesitate. They don't have inner weakness, they're very strong from within. وَمَا ضَعُفُوا. And that inner strength translates as the external strength, where they say now that even if I don't have a sword, it's the stone. And even if you are dastardly and cowardly not to face me, I'll take off my armor. Come and face to me man to man. Well, this is the explanation. فَمَا وَمَا ضَعُفُوا وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا. They never submitted and surrendered to evil. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. And Allah loves those who are victorious in the battlefield. No. Sorry, I mistranslated. Allah doesn't say Allah loves those who are victorious. Allah loves those who are firm and determined in their resolution. Nobody can shake them. This sabr was victory for them. And Allah loves these people. وَمَا كَانَ قَوْلُهُمْ. But what is it that gave them the strength? وَمَا كَانَ قَوْلُهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا. Their prayer, they engaged in prayer. Notice before Karbala, before Ashura, the dua, the istighfar, the salah, the Quran. وَمَا كَانَ قَوْلُهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. Oh Allah, forgive our sins. They knew if there is one thing that will make them fail, it's their past sinful behavior. It catches up with you in times of crisis. It makes you weak. Shaitan comes back and plays with your memory, your inclination towards evil and to submit to evil and not to respond to the truth. He comes and plays with that at the time of crisis, just when you need all your strength to face evil. Oh Lord, we have recognized the truth. We know that our best interest is served in submitting to the truth and sacrificing for the truth. But in order to succeed, we need our past sins to be forgiven. Istighfar on the night of Ashura. The importance. Wa israfana fi amrina. Wa thabbit aqdamana. Oh Allah, make us firm. We are determined now. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We're going to plunge. But if there are unforeseeable circumstances, let us not flinch. Let us remain firm. You give us the strength. Wansurna. And give us victory. Me as a person? No. Alal qawmil kafirin. We're facing those who have seen the truth and have understood the truth. They know who Hussein is and what Hussein stands for, but they refuse to accept. They refuse to keep silent. They want to use all their forces against the truth. We want victory against such kafirin. They call themselves Muslims, but they're not. They're kafirs. فَآتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا. Allah gave them the reward here in the dunya. They are eternally remembered, these people. That's the thawab they've been given by God. Wa thawab al akhirah. No. Wa husna thawab al akhirah. What is there in the akhirah for them is much greater. It's unimaginable. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsineen. It's not only them. Allah loves all the good doers. Those who seek the truth, those who find it, those who want to live by it, those who know justice, those who are patient, and those who are ready to sacrifice themselves. And therefore, notice this ziyarah where we praise these holy warriors. I would like to briefly talk about salah as an important source of strength against all challenges that life can present in the situation of Karbala, the highest challenge. In the Quran, we are told that wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah. In one ayah, inna Allah ma'a as-sabirin. In another ayah, Allah says, wa innaha lakabiratun illa 'alal khashi'in. And whenever you need strength, whenever you face stress in life, crisis in life, problems in life, Don't go to drugs and don't go to the television. Don't go to these other evil lifestyles to give you comfort. Go to salah. Go to sabr. These are the means to strengthen yourself, to face challenges. And this is exactly what these companions did. In Surah Hud, chapter 11, ayah number 113, Allah describes the importance of not submitting to evil. وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. And don't develop an inclination towards those who are evil, the ظالم. That means don't only obey him, but don't even have a fancy or a likeness in your heart for him. Don't even have hope in your heart for the ظالم. Don't depend on him. The riwayah says to wait till the ظالم puts his hand in his pocket and removes some money and to give you. To pray that the zalim remains alive and to hope that the zalim remains alive long enough to be able to give you that favor, you already developed an inclination. And it's a major sin. Because the ayah says, فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. Because then you will be sent to the same fire of hell that this zalim is sent. Because you're supporting the zalim. وَمَا لَكُم مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءِ. And you have no true helpers and protectors and providers and guardians other than God. ثُمَّ لَا تُنصَرُونَ. And there will come a time when everything else, its own innate, inborn, intrinsic powerlessness will manifest itself, including this ظالم who pretended he had power, which is just temporary. Question. How do I get the strength to face the ظالم? The next ayah. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ. Establish prayer. And of course the ayah says, طرفي النهار وزلفا من الليل إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات إن في ذلك ذكرى للذاكرين. So according to the Quran, one of the most powerful resources to face the ظالم is salah. Question, why? Answer. In the riwayah, we're told that Imam was asked about the tafsir of Surah Fatiha. So, the latter Imams report from the previous Imams, including Imam Hussein alayhi salam, from Imam Ali alayhi salam, what is the meaning of Surah Fatiha? I would just like to very quickly share with you the deeper meaning of Surah Fatiha and see perhaps what would have been going through the minds and the hearts of Imam Hussein, of the companions of Imam Hussein on this night, that gave them so much strength to be ready to die not once but 70 times. No, 1,000 times. No, 1,000 times is just a figure. As many times as is possible. Imam alayhi salam explains that when you say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, when you refer to Allah, you should allow your mind to think about Allah in terms of that entity and that being who is the absolute perfect being to whom all turn to when they are in need. Everyone who claims he is independent of God, Allah will test him sometime, somewhere in his life where he shall have to face a situation where his own powerlessness and helplessness, and also the powerlessness and helplessness of everything other than himself, everyone else and everything else, will be clearly shown to him, and from the bottom of his heart he shall sincerely admit, yes, you are the true power. That power is Allah. So when you say Bismillah, you should say, I'm beginning and I'm seeking help in the name of He to whom all turn to at all times, though they may not realize it. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Rahman, the one who gives rizq to everyone, including these enemies who are standing in front of us. Rahim, the one who has given us special grace and favors in our deen, in our dunya, in our akhirah. In the same hadith, Imam Ali, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, quotes from Imam Ali alayhi salam that when you say Alhamdulillah, you should remember that the bounties of God are uncountable. And not only they are uncountable, they are unfathomable. Many of them can't even be understood properly. And when you say Alhamdulillahi Rabb, you should know Rabb means the master, the creator, the provider, the one who gives rizq to everyone, whether they know or they don't. In fact, Ar-rizqu maqsoom, rizq has been destined for everyone. Nobody can escape it. Just like you can't escape death, you can't escape your rizq. It's been destined for you. Alhamdulillah, Rabb. Al-alameen, the Lord and the provider of all creatures, be it animate. The one who holds the heavens from it to collapse on the earth. The one who holds the earth from it to swallow up the dwellers of the earth. Ar-Rahman, the one who provides to everyone. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Even to the sinners, even to these people who are standing here. And therefore I have to spend every moment possible and every situation possible to try to call them back to the truth. And then Imam alayhi salam explains that the Rahman, God is Rahman, meaning that we should also become agents who manifest the mercy of God. So notice how the mother has been given special mercy to take care and love her child. God says, Ana Rahman min Rahim shakaktu laha isman min ismi. The word Rahman is derived from the word Rahim, and the word Rahim means the womb. And therefore, if you are to represent God's mercy on the earth, the first people you should show compassion and consideration to you are those who are related to you by the womb. يَقْضُونَ فِيهِمْ حُقُوقَ الْآبَى وَالْأُمَّهَاتِ. All the sacrifice that has been made by the parents in raising you, you reciprocate and you pay back by being kind and considerate to your relatives connected to through your father or through your mother. And then Imam alayhi salam says, but wait a minute. To manifest God's mercy is not only to have compassion and consideration towards your physical fathers. More important are your spiritual fathers. If your physical fathers have provided for you physically and have protected you physically, your spiritual fathers have provided you something and have protected you from spiritual dangers which are much more important than your physical life. And therefore your rahmah should also extend to the spiritual fathers. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the spiritual father of that time. أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَعْظَمُ حَقًّا مِّن كُلِّ مُنْعِمٍ سِوَاهُ. The hurma of the rahim of the Prophet is because of the hurma of the Prophet, and the sanctity of the Prophet is because of the sanctity of God. In the word Rahim, Imam alayhi salam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, from his father explains, it means that he is extremely merciful to the believers. He has created, for example, mercy in 100 parts. Of that 100 parts, only 1 part has been sent down to the earth. And therefore all the love and the affection that you see, the human compassion that you experience on the earth, is just 1%. The remaining 99% will manifest itself on the Day of Judgment. The true mu'min who deserves to receive the reward from the Rahim then will manifest this mercy of God. The sinner will come to him and say, mu'min, help me. He says, but why should I help you and make shafa'a for you? Do you remember one day you were thirsty and I gave you water? Another one will come and say, mu'min, help me. And this mu'min will show the rahmah of the Rahim of God by saying, but then why should I help you? Do you remember one day you were in the hot sun and you needed shelter and I gave you shelter in my house? And examples like this. Anyone who has offered any small service to a mu'min will now need the rahmah that the mu'min has qualified to receive and to channel, because he believed in the God who is Rahim. Maliki yawm al-din. Imam Hussein alayhi salam quotes his father to say that Malik means the one who has the power to erect and to establish the day of judgment. He can bring the time forward or he can delay. He is the one who will on the day of judgment rule according to justice and make a judgment. It is yawm al-hisab, but it's not enough to know. Excuse me. It's not enough to know that he's the master of the day of judgment where there will be accountability. Just like it's not enough to know Allah is Rahman and Rahim, it's important to reflect that mercy in our lives. So also it's important to reflect that Allah is going to make us accountable. We reflect it in our lives in that today we take ourselves to account. So Imam alayhi salam says, you know, the Prophet said that the smartest of all the smart people is he who takes his account before his account will be taken. And the most foolish of all the foolish people is he who follows his desires, doesn't bother to take account of his nafs. And then Imam alayhi salam explains how to take account of your nafs. Every day check yourself how much good you have done or how much evil you have committed. In jara minhu khair, if you have done something good, praise God. If you have done something evil, four things to do. Number one, make istighfar. Ask for forgiveness for the mistakes and the sins that you've done. Number two, make a determination not to repeat that mistake. Number three, Imam Hussein alayhi salam quotes his father as saying that مَحَ ذَلِكَ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ بِتَجْدِيدِ الصَّلَاةَ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ. And then you remove the trace of that evil. There was some motive inside you, an inclination inside you that brought you towards evil. It's not enough to say astaghfirullah and I will not do it again. It's important to remove that, uproot that root of the evil that is sitting there in your heart and mind. And the way he's suggesting is by doing salawat. And number four, curse the enemies of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. Amazing. Whatever good is done, it's when we get attached to and inspired and by motivation and by the love of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. And whenever we do evil, invariably we have been influenced by the behavior or the attitudes or the habits or the lifestyles of the enemies of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. The way to make a complete tawbah, Maliki Yawmiddin, is to send salawat and to send la'na. Ihdina الصراط المستقيم. Iyaka na'bud. We worship you and you alone. And we seek assistance from you against Satan and the satanic rebels, the dalleen and the mudilleen, those who are misguided and those who misguide others. And then Imam alayhi salam quotes, you must remember that if you are to seek assistance and help from God, remember this much, that if Allah were to give everyone from the beginning of the earth till the end of times, everyone, everything that they wished for, أَوَّلَهُمْ وَآخِرَهُمْ حَيَّهُمْ وَمَيِّتَهُمْ, all their desires, لَوْ أَنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ عَلَى شَفِيرِ الْبَحْرِ فَغَمَسَ فِيهِ إِبْرَى, then it will not reduce from my kingdom and from my power and my majesty as much as you take a needle and dip it into an ocean and remove it and there is a small drop of water stuck on that needle. If I gave everyone from the beginning till the end, nothing would reduce from my kingdom and majesty. إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. This is the Lord I seek help from. You think I'm going to fail in life? No way. Bring all the forces against me. They're minuscule. They're less than the drop of a drop from an ocean of God's power. Can you face these people? These warriors? They've latched themselves. You know, in the Quran, we're told Shaitan ambushes us. He attacks us from a position, a vantage point where he can see us and we can't see him. He plants a thought when we are negligent, when we're heedless. And then suddenly we're overtaken by that evil. But the way to defend ourselves is to connect to a power that Shaitan can't see. And that is God. Once you latch yourself to God's power, there is no way you can fail. إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. Guide us to the straight path. The path that will lead me away from my desires. and will lead me to your love and to love you and to venerate you and to respect you and to praise you and to hope in you and to fear nothing but you and to obey you and to submit to you and to want to give up my life for you. That's the Siratul Mustaqim I want. And that is the prayer that they must have done on the eve of Ashura, these companions. Siratul Ladhina An'amta Alayhim. The path of those whom you have blessed. Imam Ali alayhi salam, quoted by Imam Hussein alayhi salam, says, this ni'mah granted to the leaders whom we want to follow is not the ni'mah of health and wealth. Oh, that is given even to the kafir and the fasiq. It is the ni'mah of submission to the truth, of love for the truth. It is the iman in God. It is the faith in the Prophet as the most perfect human being. It is the faith in the wilaya after the Prophet. غير المغضوب عليهم, not the path of those on whom you have descended your wrath and displeasure. Imam al-Islam then quotes an ayah from Surah Ma'idah, ayah number 60, where a community of Bani Israel were defiant and arrogant and disobeyed and violated the law of God, and Allah's wrath descended on them. And they were transmogrified into animals. We don't want to follow the path of those defiant, disobedient people. Walabbalin, not the path also of those who are misguided. Or incidentally, on the land of Karbala, it would have applied for the enemy, the maghdubi alayhim. Walabbalin, Imam alayhi salam quotes the ayah 77 of Surah Ma'idah, Ya ahl al-kitabi, Qul ya ahl al-kitabi, la taghlu fi dinikum. وَلَا تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. Don't be extreme in your faith. Because if you do so, then you will be misguided and you will misguide others and you will reach a point in your misguidance where you cannot then be brought back to the path of the truth. Don't be extremist. Don't distort. Look for the truth. Be sincere in your search. And when you accept it, submit to it sincerely. Don't misinterpret. Don't add. Don't subtract. I mean, believing God as human beings as a son of God was the extreme misinterpretation done by some Ahlul Kitab, and we're being warned in that. Same thing here. The enemies who came against Imam Hussein alayhi salam misinterpreted the verses of God which applied to the Holy Prophet, that he was just an ordinary man. And therefore after him, ordinary people can come and take power after him. That's a misinterpretation, and therefore you're misguided and you're misguiding others. Rukur, I submit myself and declare the majesty and the grandeur of God. In Nahjul Balagha, Imam Ali alayhi salam says that in the description of the muttaqin, عظم الخالق في أعينهم فصغر ما دونهم. The only entity which is truly great and powerful and grand and majestic in these people's eyes is God. Everyone else is minuscule. There's nothing before God. They look big when you look at their level, but once you raise yourself higher and higher and higher, and you look down from a vantage point, they're very small. You need to elevate yourself. You need to connect to the highest, to the elevated, to the exalted one. And finally, sajda. The historical books say that this night they spent the night, and if you were to come out the camps, you would hear them buzzing like the buzz of the bees. لَهُمْ دَوِيٌّ كَدَوِيٍّ نَحْلِ بَيْنَ قَائِمٍ وَقَاعِدٍ وَرَاكِعٍ وَسَاجِدٍ. They are either in the state of ruku or sujood or recitation or dua or istighfar. Sajda, that ultimate submission. Oh Lord, everything I have, the topmost that I have, I lower it down to the lowest level. If there was any level possible lower than this, I would lower it. Oh Lord, I am low before you. I'm dhalil before you. You are a'la. No, I am adhal before you. I'm even lower than the lowest. No, I am adhalil adhalin. I'm aqallil aqallin. I'm the small. I'm the smallest. No, I'm the smallest of the smallest. But there's nothing lower than that. It's that inner realization of our nothingness before the Lord, which has to express itself in the form of the true sajda. مَنْ اشْتَغَلَ بِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ مِنَ الْمُسْتَهْزِئِينَ بِنَفْسِهِ. Whosoever now makes sajda but doesn't remember the majesty of God, he is mocking at God. And finally, the dua. If you look at the Quran, the way it describes the process of dua, that you communicate to your Lord, and your Lord is near you. He's near you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَرِيبٌ. In another ayah, Allah says, not only God is near to you, but is nearer to you than anybody else. At the death scene, when a person is dying, Allah says, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. We are closer to the dying person than any of the family friends. In a third ayah, Allah says, no, we are not only closer to you than everybody else, we are closer to you than your jugular vein. نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. The very basis of your life, we're closer to you. The very basis of your physical life, we're closer to you. We give you life, then your body sustains you. No, your physical life is from the spiritual world. Your core identity is your soul and your spirit. We are close to you than your very soul and spirit and your consciousness. I don't know if there is any level of closeness higher than that. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ. Me the thinker and my thought. God is closer to my thought than me the thinker. Me the thinker and the thought. God is closer to me the thinker than my thought is to myself. There is no degree of closeness. This is the ultimate perfection. The unlimited being who penetrates, who intervenes, who intercepts between every object, thinker and thought. These individuals, they are ribbiyun. They are closest to God. You think they're going to be intimidated by swords and spears and stones? A stone is a stone because God wills it so. A stone can fly because God wills it so. A stone can hit me because God wills it so. I feel pain because God wills it so. I will suffer because God wants it so. You're not going to intimidate me. You will never win against these people. Our salutation be on them. But the amazing thing about Karbala is the Ribbiyun were not confined to the adults. They were even children. Qasim? No. There was a young infant also. That's the amazing story of Karbala. Karbala offers sacrifice at all levels. On the last moments, Imam Hussein alayhi salam comes and faces the enemy. هَلْ مِنْ ذَابٍ يَذُبُّ عَنْ حَرَمِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Is there no defender here to come and defend the family of the Prophet? You are Muslims. You say, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Here is the family of the Prophet. هَلْ مِنْ مُوَحِّدٍ يَخَافُ اللَّهَ فِينَا. Is there nobody here who fears God and His punishment for violating the sanctity of the Prophet? هَلْ مِنْ مُغِيثٍ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ فِي إِغَاثَتِنَا. Is there no one who hopes in the mercy and the reward and the support and the success from God if you come and help the godly people? هَلْ مِنْ مُعِينٍ يَرْجُ مَعَ يَرْجُو مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ فِي إِعَانَتِنَا. Is there no one who hopes in God's reward? When the ladies hear this cry of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they begin to cry. Imam Hussein alayhi salam returns back to the camp. نَاوِلُونِ عَلِيًّا. Give me my young infant Ali. إِبْنِيَ الطِّفْل حَتَّى أُوَدِّعَهُ. Let me bid farewell to my young son. Imam alayhi salam is brought his young infant son. Imam takes him in his laps. Imam kisses him. And he makes a dua. وَيْلٌ لِهَاُولَاءِ الْقَوْمِ إِذَا كَانَ خَصْمُهُمْ جَدَّكْ. My dear son, woe be to these people on the day of judgment when the Holy Prophet will come and confront them and ask them, how could they be so deviant and depraved as to deny these basic rights to the family of the Prophet. Sayyid ibn Tawus in his Maqtal Luhuf says that Ya Qawmi, Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, Ya Qawmi, qad qataltum shi'ati. Not only Imam Hussein talks to the baby, now Imam Hussein presents the baby to the enemies. O people, qad qataltum Shi'ati, you have already killed all my companions. Wa ahla bayti, and you have killed all my members of the family. Wa qad baqiya hadha at-tifl. Now the only person alive is this young boy. يَتَلَظَّى عَطَشًا. Look at him. His tongue uncontrollably slips out and comes back from his mouth because of the extreme thirst. فَسْقُوهُ شَرْبَةً مِنَ الْمَاءِ. فَسْقُوهُ شَرْبَةً مِنَ الْمَاءِ. Give him some water. إِن لَمْ تَرْحَمُونِي فَارْحَمُوا هَذَا الطِّفْلِ. You have no mercy and compassion and pity on me. This is an innocent child. Ali Askar, the infant, is the final soldier in Karbala, because Imam alayhi salam now is challenging the conscience, the human conscience of the enemies. Are you humans or not? This is an innocent child. Imam Hussein alayhi salam presents Ali Askar as a means to expose the brutality and the ruthlessness and the bestiality of these enemies of God. Ya qawmi lam tarhamuni farhamu hadha at-tifl. Imam Hussein alayhi salam presents Ali Akbar as the final ultimate sacrifice of Karbala. Imam Hussein alayhi salam presents Ali Asghar as that final means to tell God, "Oh Lord, I've given you everything I have, including this young one." What do the enemies do? Harmala bin Kahil al-Asadi takes an arrow and shoots at this young infant. The neck is slaughtered, blood begins to flow. Imam Hussein alayhi salam collects that blood and he raises that blood. Very few drops, a young baby, how many drops do you expect? He raises the blood and he throws it towards the heaven. Allahumma in habasta anna an-nasr faj'al dhalika lima huwa khayrun lana. O Lord, in your grand scheme of creation, in this confrontation between truth and falsehood, we are to give our physical life to defend the Quran, to defend the godly message. I'm ready to do all that in order to receive the reward later on and not the physical victory now. Oh Lord, this is my presentation, a few drops of blood. But the amazing thing is this, the Maqtal says, no, Imam Baqir alayhi salam says, when the blood was thrown up to the heavens, not a single drop fell down on the earth. فَلَمْ يَسْقُطْ مِنْ ذَٰلِكَ الدَّمْ قَطْرَةً. Not even a drop came back to the earth. God, what is happening? The pull of gravity should have brought the blood down. It's as if Allah is saying, Hussein, all your sacrifice, even a single drop, is accepted. The angels have received it, and we have taken it up to the heavens. Hussein, if a single drop of this innocent blood were to fall on the earth, this earth would have been punished. Imam Hussein alayhi salam takes the baby back to the camp. فَحَفَرَ لِلصَّبِيِّ بِجَفْنِ سَيْفِهِ. He takes the scabbard of the sword and begins to dig a small grave. رَمَّلَهُ بِدَمِهِ وَدَفَّنَ. This bloodied body was now buried in this small grave. Oh, nobody's grave was dug in Karbala except for this small one. I don't know, maybe Imam Hussein alayhi salam knew the ruthlessness and the mercilessness of these enemies. Maybe he wanted to protect this young infant from being trampled by the horses later on. Maybe Imam Hussein alayhi salam didn't want this infant's head to be chopped off later on. He wanted to hide him away. هَوَّنَ عَلَيَّ مَا نَزَلَ بِي أَنَّهُ بِعَيْنِ اللَّهِ. This is an extreme suffering and pain I'm undergoing, but what consoles me is the one fact that everything is being done under the watch of God, and I know His justice and His mercy will prevail. Imam, the 12th Holy Imam, comes and pays respect to this young infant. As-salamu ala Abdullah bin al-Husayn, al-Tifl al-Radi'. Our salams to this young infant, the milk-sucking infant, al-Marmiy al-Sari', who was slaughtered by an arrow, al-Mutashahhiti Daman, the one who writhed in his blood, al-musa'addamuhu fi as-samaa, whose blood was then transported to the heavens, al-madhbuh bis-sahmi fi hijri abih, the one who was slaughtered in the laps of his father, la'anallahu ramiyahu harmala. The 12th Imam says, may Allah curse the archer Harmala. Karbala and Ali Asghar show us that the sacrifice of this tragedy involved every age. Karbala shows us that every type of weapon was used, be it a sword, be it a spear, be it a neck, the neck of an innocent child. Karbala shows that every drop was valuable. Karbala shows that this blood was totally accepted by God. Ali Asghar's sacrifice showed the brutality of the enemy. Ali Asghar's sacrifice was the greatest loss Imam suffered, and the consolation was all, he said, is because it's under God's watch. As-salamu ala al-Husayn, wa ala Ali ibn al-Husayn, wa ala awlad al-Husayn, wa ala ashab al-Husayn, jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Matam al-Husayn.